even if you find them, you've got to decide, are they relevant to the integral you want to do? However, if you solve the linear theory, that's a really good start. Because in the linear theory, there's always only one relevant saddle point. And so you know it's the classical solution is relevant. And that's an ansatz you can systematically improve numerically. So you can fix the initial geometry, the final geometry, the fluctuations on both, find the linear theory, and then start dialing up the amplitude of the fluctuations on initial and final, and solve numerically by iteration. This is a fascinating laboratory in which to study real-time quantum gravitational phenomena using semi-classical methods. For example, in the collapsing phase, perturbations grow. And undoubtedly, if you put in certain perturbations, they will form a black hole in the middle, around the throat, and then that black hole will evaporate. And so De Sitter provides a wonderful laboratory where you use the blue shifting to create nonlinearities in the middle, and you see what comes out. So we're still in the middle of doing this, and I think in principle this may lead to some very interesting results, and this is a future direction for numerical relativity to go, to actually study complex solutions describing semi-classical quantum phenomena. So let me say very briefly, can I have 2 minutes, about inflation. So this is the usual picture of inflation. You start the universe at Planck size or some tiny size, and then it blows up exponentially. But this is a little fishy, this picture, because inflation is geodesically incomplete. It's only half of De Sitter space. And certainly when we analytically continue in the fields, we're effectively doing what we do when we analytically continue to discover the whole De Sitter space-time. So I have to worry that, you know, what happened before this? Because that's there in the global picture. There's some before in the global picture. And of course, it turns out there's a second classical solution for inflation, completely neglected in all current work, where the initial classical three geometry can be effectively before this minus infinity in the flat slicing. And this all has finite action and looks like it should contribute. Unfortunately, the way you define the Bunch-Davies vacuum in inflation, the famous vacuum, is by taking this time to zero, which is conformal time to minus infinity. Actually, most cosmologists don't even discuss this, but Weinberg discusses the relation to conventional quantum field theory, and use a Wick rotation to enforce the vacuum state. Now, that doesn't really make sense in quantum geometrodynamics, because eta is only a coordinate. So you have to convert it into Q, the size of your initial geometry, and it's telling you that Q approaches zero from the upper half plane. If you carry this through consistently, you find that the relevant Lorentzian saddle is exactly the bad one, and it gives inverse Gaussian perturbations, not Gaussian. Okay, so there's a tension between quantum geometrodynamics and inflation. The Bunch-Davies vacuum is potentially susceptible to these effects. This quantum incompleteness is closely related to the geodesic incompleteness of inflation. So I think I'll summarize. We can get unambiguous predictions from the Lorentzian path integral. The no boundary proposal is an attractive idea, seems to be mathematically problematic. We have better understanding of these problems now. Inflation is similarly subject to non-perturbative corrections. Quantizing backgrounds is very important. Yet most of attempts to describe quantum cosmology treat the background as classical and only the perturbations as quantum. And I think that makes no conceptual sense at all. And when you quantize the background, you discover this amazing connection between the IR, the zero modes, and the UV, the perturbations. which is fascinating. Techniques of potentially a very wide applicability. Thank you very much.
Okay, several, let me start here.
Well, I think I have to say something. Part of what I was very pleased to see Neil say is an emphasis on the fact that any final theory that we have is not just the theory of dynamics, it has to have a quantum state associated. We're looking for various proposals for that. The one Stephen and I put out in 37 years ago, I guess, right, has led to a lot of work. The present way we look at it is sticking close to the semi-classical approximation where we can compute, right? So we're not concerned, nor do I see any real reason why the wave function has to be summarized by some integral Lorentzian or Euclidean. Rather, any solution of the appropriate Wheeler-DeWitt equation is a potential candidate for a wave function of the universe. To specify which one, right, at the semi-classical level is a specification of the saddle points of the action that contribute to the wave function. When you do that, there are a lot of constraints on it. For example, your wave function has to be normalizable, otherwise we're not doing quantum mechanics. That selection, right, then gives rise to the predictions, and we've got whole rafts of predictions that have been calculated in that way. But there is the question, which is the center of Neil's talk, as to whether the collection, so a no boundary saddle point is one which is regular on the four disk in which it's described. But which contribute, right? Well, any particular proposal will single out some subset. Neil has one, right? The question is, could they be summarized in some more general way, like an integral? But there are other ways of doing it, like duality, for example, as Thomas and I showed, also provides a method for singling out the saddle points based on work Maldacena and Horowitz. So this issue of the generality of a general summary is still in flux, but the predictions, I think, are still there. Thank you.
Yeah, so I tried to emphasize that by saying the path integral formulation of the no boundary proposal is mathematically problematic. I mean, Jim is saying you're free to just take any solution of the Wheeler-DeWitt equation and use that as your proposal for the initial conditions. No boundary, yes. So you're restricting to classical solutions of the no boundary form, complex classical solutions of the no boundary form. Yeah.
I didn't disagree.
Right. So I tried to say things fairly. Yes.
Oh, thank you. I don't. It's a little bit more technical, but I'm trying to follow when you're saying, you know, let's view it as a just theory, normal field theory in flat space, whatever, you have this field. So then I would think that, you know, we are trying to go to kind of unitary description and getting rid of this, auxiliary field, which is like Lagrange multiplier. So my understanding is, if I'm not wrong, that N, for example, it is kind of has no kinetic term, right?
Correct.
Right. So in this way, if I would be thinking, you know, in this standard way, I would like say, okay, let's find out the N through dynamical coordinate and substitute it back. Mm-hmm. Then we will immediately see the singularity, I believe, in kinetic terms for remaining coordinate. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to understand is that in this way, if I will go to this, dynamical coordinates only, then I do not need to think about integration over N because I already substituted N. You know,
right.
in set of point, and that's it, right?
True.
So it's So in this way, it's not wave function of M, it's wave function of this dynamical coordinate. And the problem would be still there because
that's
of singularity,
true.
Right?
However,
for example, this rotation to Euclidean would be just taking time to be imaginary as a normal way, right? Without an or whatever, right?
Right.
So it does not answer the question, but I'm just trying to follow your logic.
Yeah, the point of keeping N is to maintain the analyticity of the action. You know,
yeah.
As usual, if you eliminate N, you get a square root action.
Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
then it's much less clear what to do. So
no, but,
it's
but
very
it's unavoidable even in your approach. The singularity
you have to
will
integrate,
show up.
Right. Oh, yes. No, they will show up. So that's an alternative perspective. I think it's technically much more difficult
mm-hmm.
to eliminate N first and deal only with physical degrees mm-hmm. of freedom.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
so it's possible, but you will have to deal with square root. Square root Hamiltonian.
But my impression is from what you are saying that, you cannot move further until you will resolve this kind of singularity anyway. And for example, having four saddle points, then you would have question: which one to substitute, right?
Right.
Which substitute in N. So
well, it was fairly clear. If I took the Lorentzian, there was definitely a saddle point. It's just that the answer is bizarre.
Yeah, right.
But that could be for several reasons. Either there's a mathematical error, which we don't see at the moment,
uh-huh.
or the question makes no sense. If it makes no sense to consider the amplitude for nothing to create a three geometry,
mm-hmm.
well, then you asked a silly question. You shouldn't be surprised the answer is silly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is currently my belief.
Thank you.
Is that even quantum gravity requires an in and an out state? That's my belief.
All right. So as has already been alluded to, one way of thinking about the functional integral is a method to solve the Wheeler-DeWitt equation.
Right.
And so, are you saying that if you look at solutions of the Wheeler-DeWitt equation, you don't think you can avoid the ones with the wrong signs for the fluctuations?
Yeah, I don't think about it that way. The Wheeler-DeWitt equation is certainly useful, but as I mentioned, it has an infinite number of solutions, including
sure.
these.
Okay.
What is unique about the path integral, it's an integral. There's no free parameter, no free constant, undetermined constants. It's just a quantity. So I think if you're going to try to define an initial condition for the universe, the path integral is much more attractive from that point of view. It gives an answer. It will give a particular solution to the Wheeler-DeWitt equation. By the way, because of the freedom to choose contours,
yeah.
it's already clear there's many, many solutions to the Wheeler-DeWitt equation.
Yeah.
So what I would claim is that just picking one of those, arbitrarily is not a very principled approach to initial conditions.
Okay, well, certainly from the functional integral, by specifying boundary conditions on it, you can get, various solutions.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The Lorentzian path integral gives an absolutely unique result. There was no ambiguity.
Maybe
the Lorentzian no-boundary path integral. That's a nice thing. The Lorentzian no-boundary path integral gives an absolutely unique result. It's just a result that nobody likes.
But I think that may be
because the question being asked doesn't make any sense.
Well, if you start with an initial geometry, you have something more like the Feynman propagator, and so you can.
You
can turn that into different solutions. Depending on how
exactly.
you specify your initial condition.
If you take the real part, it provides a solution.
Right. We'll continue with it.
Yeah.
Is it clear that in a theory of quantum gravity, a single saddle dominates as opposed to something that may happen in QCD-like theories where you have infinitely many saddles and
yes.
entropy factor wins?
No, thanks for asking. So in fact,
let me finish the question. I would also wonder if that's the case, where sum over four manifolds come in?
Well, you mean topologies?
Right.
Yeah, no, that's a level of complication we haven't achieved. So all we're doing is summing over four manifolds of the same topology so far, the trivial topology. But yes, in principle, one has to think about topology change. But I gave two examples of where there are two relevant saddles, right? One was this rescue proposal, which I didn't have time to explain in detail, but Jim and colleagues proposed a new contour. And this contour is designed so that the Hartle-Hawking saddles are relevant. However, what we showed is that the other saddles also contribute. So you get a dominant saddle for small perturbations with Gaussian fluctuations, but then the other subdominant saddle contributes anti-Gaussian. So the probability distribution of the fluctuations is initially well-behaved for small perturbations, but then at large perturbations diverges. So it's still out of control. So, and then the other example of two saddles was this one. So when you do De Sitter space-time, you fix the initial and final geometry, but you're allowed any intervening classical solution, and there happen to be two, and you have to sum both of them.
One final question.
So at some point you discussed the Euclidean continuation of the path integral and some problems with it.
Yes.
Have you thought about, instead of rotating all the way to Euclidean at once, which causes a problem, rotating part of the way and then asking what happens as you do that to the answer? Because there are cases where that's been tried, and it really helps to understand, for instance, continuations in real-time path integrals in Euclidean path integrals.
I see. I haven't.
Thank you. I don't disagree with anything you said about De Sitter and the fact that cosmologists, at least phenomenologically, neglect half of De Sitter space with the assumption that somehow gravitational collapse corresponds more to what their approximation of half. So it may be that De Sitter can't answer this question. You have to make some other model which includes gravitational collapse.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. I have a completely different proposal for the beginning of the universe, which I didn't have time to talk about. But I think, strangely enough, the radiation-dominated universe works beautifully. The radiation-dominated universe is very different than De Sitter, obviously, at t equals zero. Classically, it passes smoothly through t equals zero, the zero mode. And so we've been studying the quantum cosmology of the radiation-dominated universe, a lot more conservative, I would say, than inflation. And I've recently found a new mechanism which you can get the scale invariant perturbations in such a theory, so with no extra assumptions. So I think, something is clearly wrong here. Is it the math? Is it the physics? Is it the assumptions? It's not totally clear. But my perspective is those assumptions are pretty complicated anyway, the assumption there was inflation. It's very contrived. I've always felt this. And so I feel we just have to look harder for a better theory that actually explains phenomena rather than just fits them parametrically. But that's my perspective.
And on that, let's thank Neil again.
Okay.